flames of fire destroying dream homes. Hurricane gusts blowing dream homes to bits, and waters breaching man-made boundaries and relentlessly pursuing those who are hoping desperately that they can get out of harm's way. They are pretty much concluded. They've pretty much concluded that the home is destroyed, but can their lives be saved? Flames of ethnic cleansing or religious persecution raining down on entire communities, even cities, boisterously and menacingly promising to destroy all in the flames' path. Fast-moving flames of pride and hatred embodied by men bent on destroying and causing as much pain as they can in the process. Entire villages burned down, homes leveled, now in the form of ashes, as those who previously occupied those dwellings that meant so much to them flee in order to save that which means even more to them than the homes they'll never live in again, their very lives and the lives of those they love. These homes certainly are not the same as the beautiful homes that nestled so quietly in the forest with their grand columns, beautifully furnished, great windows that gave them beautiful views of the forest outdoors. But the meaning of those homes, just as great, because these homes that were burned down in these flames of ethnic cleansing and religious persecution and political persecution were homes that the people truly looked forward to sleeping in night after night after night. These were homes that they look forward to gathering in, having conversations with the rest of the family day in and day out. These were the homes where they ate their meals. These were the homes that provided consistency for them. Homes that meant so much. Homes that they'll never live in again. Gone. For good. How do we respond? Do we say, oh, that's nothing. Those houses didn't cost that much. For them, it cost much. Just as much as the homes that middle class and upper class people paid for that were planted in the woods, in the forest. When you think about the difference in income, and you think about the emotional attachment in both cases. The emotional attachment to the homes in the villages. The emotional attachment to the homes in the forest. Attachment is attachment. And home is home. And for many people, home is where the heart is. How do we respond? How do we respond when some have to muster the physical, mental, and emotional strength to get up off the ground and run in order to find some semblance of safety after men have forced themselves into the bodies and thereby the souls of women and girls who were powerless to stop them? In some cases, husbands and sons, sometimes held perfectly still by the cruel grip of a mob of other men, with guns and machetes who prevented them from helping and in many cases forced them to watch as their wives, their mothers, their daughters, their sisters were repeatedly raped by those who just kept forcing themselves into the bodies and thereby the souls of these women, these girls. Some of them ending up with diseases. Pieces of the souls of the men, the women, and the children left scattered in the ashes of their burned down homes, while what's left of them pushes on for whatever form of safety can still be found. How do we respond? When storms of excruciating poverty and storms of political persecution have crushed a people so long and so viciously that they decide that they can no longer bear the weight of it. And they all leave the country they love so much in order to avoid being slowly but surely crushed to death by relentless wave after wave after wave of oncoming torrents that often leave them dazed, battered, and confused, desperate. When they decide that a long, long walk to another place is worth whatever dangers they may have to face along the way, how do we respond? Angry reptiles that feel threatened by the train of humanity encroaching on their land, their homes. Whatever weather conditions, whether beating, draining sun or soaking, battering rains, risking sickness and weariness beyond anything most of us who simply watch the march from the comfort of our living rooms and dens could ever imagine. Or how about those who get on boats, whether the boats are real boats or makeshift boats, whether seaworthy or not, to brave whatever awaits them in the deep, sharks, sun, downpours, capsizing. All worth the risk in order to find a better life somewhere else. Somewhere other than the country that they've loved all their lives. How do those who've lost their dream homes that once dotted the once beautiful forest respond when they hear about the plight of people who have left all, including country, in hopes of finding better? Do they realize with a depth that most of us don't, the magnitude of the long journey with all its risks? Do they connect more deeply than those of us who have lived and continue to live in relative safety with the hope of finding humanity at the end of that journey, who welcome the ones fleeing with compassion, open arms, and resources to help? Do those whose homes have been burned down in the flames of fire in the forest grasp the fears that torment those who flee for a better part of the world and therefore a better life? The fears of what may confront them while on the hard journey, as well as the fears of what will certainly happen if they don't at least try to make the journey. And what about the greatest fear of all? The fear of being met with hatred and cruel rejection by those they hoped would rescue them when they finally reach what they hoped would be the end of the journey, a conclusion that they hoped would mark the beginning of a better, even if challenging, life. How do we respond mentally, emotionally, and verbally when people need to be rescued?